This episode of the Fresh Start Family Show is brought to you by our Quick Start Learning Bundle, how to build a compassionate, firm, and kind discipline toolkit that works with kids of all ages. Head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline to grab your Quick Start Bundle so you can get going today on building up a strong, compassionate, discipline toolkit in your home.
Well, hey there, I'm Stella. Welcome to my mom and dad's podcast, The Fresh Start Family Show. We're so happy you're here. We're inspired by the ocean, Jesus, and rock and roll, and believe deeply in the true power of love and kindness. Together, we hope to inspire you to expand your heart, learn new tools, and strengthen your family. Enjoy the show!
Well, hey there, families, and welcome to a new episode of the Fresh Start Family Show. I am so excited to be sitting here today with Dr. Jen Noble, who is a psychologist, a mixed race advocate, a teen parenting coach, and is just so passionate about amplifying marginalized communities. We are so excited that you are here, Dr. Jen. Welcome.
Yes. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, and it's early. We're both in California, yeah. And it's 7 a.m. And
right.
So we're trying to wake up listeners. So just we'll probably get rolling like 20 minutes and then we'll be like fully awake, right?
Yes.
Oh, but today you guys, Dr. Jen is going to just bring beautiful wisdom to our show to talk to us about helping children with identity development and parenting mixed raced kids. Yeah. So awesome. I love that you are so passionate about this subject, Dr. Jen. And I specifically love how, you know, all of the training that you've had and the incredible work that you've done in the world. I mean, it is amazing. And I love how your PhD is in clinical psychology, but you have two mm-hmm. specialty areas, right? So the children and mm-hmm. adolescent teens, and then also the multicultural community aspect. And it's just, I love what you're doing in the world. So take a minute just to tell us a little bit more about why you're so passionate about this, how you became, an educator in this space, and just mm-hmm. take a moment so listeners can get to know you a little bit better.
Yeah. Okay. So how I got passionate about this is, the first place that kind of got me passionate about this topic is that I myself live as a mixed race person. And so just, you know, I had a very different experience growing up, I think. I think an experience that was a lot the same as many other people, but as I grew, I started to see, you know, okay, everybody's experience is different. And I had a very unique kind of experience. And in college is when I really started like taking more of an active approach to my identity. In high school, I did a little bit, but then definitely in college. And so I started to get involved with a nonprofit. And this was along with majoring in psychology and majoring in other things. But I started working with this nonprofit group that's actually out of Southern California. They're called MASC. It stands for Multiracial Americans of Southern California.
Nice.
And they, you know, it was started by two women, but one of the women that stayed heavily involved was a Jewish mom of two young daughters who were Jewish and African American. And she was like, gosh, I want an organization where families can come together and we can talk about this and we can, you know, advocate for our child and blah, blah, blah. So I got involved with that organization as a member and my involvement grew. And so I was kind of, you know, past president, past vice president. And what we found is that we would get a lot of families that would contact us and say, you know, do you have something for my teen? What can my teenager do? They really need this, you know, organization, because a lot of our stuff was for adults and parents with young kids.
Ah, gotcha.
You know, and so a lot of they were like, oh, my teen needs a group. Do you have a teen group? And then we would get emails from like other parts of the country, like, do you have a chapter of this organization in, you know, Idaho or whatever? And we would always have to say, well, no, we don't. And, you know, maybe check out this group or check out something else. And so for me, that really became important because I was like, wow, there really is a need out there beyond just Southern California for families just to get some help helping their kid understand what it's like to be mixed in America. And that's really how I got passionate about this topic specifically. So
yeah,
once I finished, you know, my doctorate in psychology and I was working in all these different areas as a clinical psychologist, very recently, then I pivoted from working with a nonprofit and doing some, you know, my own, you know, teaching and psych work to being like, okay, now I really want to focus on this because we knew it was a need and we really weren't able to fill it. And I think I can now, you know? And so that's where I kind of got excited about it.
Yes. And I love, mm-hmm. I was just reading more about, you know, your story, and I love how you shared yeah. about how you and your mom had these tensions when you were young and you were like, yeah. Mom, I think we need some help. and you like, yeah. the word therapy like started to come in and you're like, well, we yeah. never actually made it to therapy, but my mom was open.
Right.
And that's when I think the seed kind of got planted, right? That you were like, oh, maybe, you know,
yes.
maybe there's, I'm an example of someone who would really benefit from having right. some support, specifically
yeah.
with your, I think that's so often our story, right? It's like we build things mm-hmm. that provide the support that we wish we had so freely,
yes, that we would,
like
right.
easily, like on the corner, but mm-hmm. it wasn't
yes.
there when our parents were growing up, you know, our parents were raising us when we were growing up, all that kind of stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Yes.
And I love how you say there was, you say, I want to help adolescents, young adults, and their parents recognize that they have the moxie to achieve progress, progress, change, and heal despite the multi-layered barriers they may face, which is so beautiful.
Right.
Such, your message is such, you're such like, you have such an empowered, beautiful vibe that I really connect
you.
With. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. So, okay. Awesome.
And that is important to me. Empowering folks is important to me. I don't want them to feel like, oh, woe is me. I have a problem and, you know, I need help. I want you to be able to be like, okay, I have a little bit of an obstacle, but, you know, I can do this.
Yes.
Maybe I need a little guidance, but I can do it.
Exactly. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So for the parents out there who are mm-hmm. raising mixed-race kids,
yeah.
and really I would say, you know, hopefully there's more listening today that even mm-hmm. are like, hey, I just want to learn, right? I think that's
yeah.
the beauty
yeah.
of 2020 is like so many of yeah. us who aren't mixed race, who have white or light tan skin are start, you know,
mm-hmm.
really there's been this beautiful conscious awakening of like, oh, we need to like learn. We need to take
mm-hmm.
time out of our week every day, every week to learn more. And so
mm-hmm. Sure.
I hope there's listeners who are listening in who maybe you have mixed race kids over for dinner, or they're in your
mm-hmm.
neighborhood, or they're your kiddo's
right.
bestie, and it's like you're learning
yep.
how to support them, right? So, but this
yes,
is
absolutely.
So important. So, okay, so talk to us when it comes to helping kids with identity development and parenting mixed race kids. Talk to
mm-hmm.
us about your first piece of wisdom, which is the idea that parents create identity confidence in their children at home.
Yeah, so to me, you know, if this is a family that's raising a mixed race child, and some people use the term biracial, you can also hear the term multiracial, just for like the audience to be like, oh, well, my kid's not mixed race, they're biracial. Like, it's all the same thing.
Right.
Honestly, the reason I use mixed race and why many of us in this field use that term is because biracial often refers to just two. When someone can be mixed race and be a mixture of like more than two. So mixed allows
yeah.
for more than two. And then the idea that biracial, at least in the research, often refers to a black-white mix. And then there's so many other types of mixes out there. So mixed race is, again, it's just a term that kind of catches everyone. So if this is a family that's raising someone, you know, who is mixed race, the reason I say that it's important to start identity confidence at home is because no matter what, when that child walks out into the world, they're going to get questioned. They're going to get pushed back. They're going to get, you know, unfortunately, well, I guess worst case scenario, they're going to get some bullying. They're going to get some ostracizing. They may feel like they're being rejected from certain groups. And so the only way that they can be ready for that is if they get to be, you know, shored up at home, you know, and feel that confidence at home with mom and dad, or, you know, whoever's at home, who's raising them, to be like, look, it doesn't matter what anybody else says on the outside. This is who you are. This is how you understand it. This is how we believe it. This is how we support you. We got your back. You know, you're awesome just the way you are. So then that kid can walk outside and be like, say whatever you want. Like, I'm ready, you know, for, to a certain extent.
Yes.
And so to me, I don't think, you know, it pains me to say, but a lot of times when I work, especially in my private practice, I see a lot of mixed race teens, but I see a lot of mixed race adults, you know, maybe late 20s, early 30s. And a lot of them bring up their concerns around, you know, how society treats them. And then they say, well, you know, my parent never told me this, or I never got to talk about that with my mom, or they made me, you know, maybe even the parents did some of the same things that society did at home. And so they're really trying to build that strength that they didn't get a chance to build at home, you know? So it just drives home the point for me that when I meet someone who's like 30 something and they're like, gosh, I wish my parents would have helped me with this. I'm like, well, I want to be able to do that. Or, you know, I see how important it is.
Yes, which is,
gosh,
it's beautiful because it, you know, it's kind of like breaking that generational cycle of like, oh, we don't talk about this. We just do, you know, we get by and we don't, you know, it's not like, it's not that parents don't, they're not intentionally trying to not prepare their children, but it's just that cultural norm of that time, right? And now so many parents who listen to this show are actively breaking those painful, painful generational cycles, right? And I always remind parents that painful generational cycles don't have to just be sexual and physical abuse. They can be like the lack of educate or teaching or openness, right? Or actual relationship.
Absolutely.
I love that.
And you know, just to add to that real quick, I mean, some parents, they're really, they think they are approaching it where they say, if a kid comes home, you know, maybe the kid is 7 and they say, well, so-and-so said, I'm not, you know, whatever race that you are. Or they said, I'm not allowed to be that. And then the parent says, you know what? Race doesn't matter. You're just a human and you don't you worry about that. And they think they're helping because they're like, just don't think about it all. You tell them you're a part of the human race. And and the kid's like, okay, that's not going to work. Like, I'm going to try it, and then I'm going to get more bullied because people are going to be like, ha ha, of course we're all human, but you're a human that looks like this, and I'm a human that looks like that. So how do you explain that? And then the kid's like, I'm stuck again. So it's like the parents mean well sometimes, but it's like you got to go where that kid is trying to go and be able to tolerate it.
And get the
tough conversations.
And get the support, right? Like from incredible professionals like you, because it's like, you can't just, you can't just figure that out on your own, right?
I
had a beautiful interview with a sexual abuse prevention specialist. She was amazing last week. Her name is Rosalia Rivera, but I loved the idea of, she brought to the table of using movies to teach. And that kind of comes to mind in this, is like, you know, this is a hard, like, how do you, everything you just said, like when you want to instill this empowerment in your child, but like really you, whether you have adopted children that are a different race or you're mixed race, like, you know, with you and your husband or your wife, or it can be really hard, but sometimes movies can provide a wonderful backdrop to be like, okay, here's, we're going to watch this together as a family, and then we're going to talk about it. How did they handle it? What were the problems? What were the challenges they faced? And then, you know, in movies are always like a wonderful, there's always a, they are able oftentimes to like, there's a crescendo and they handle it. And
yes, so absolutely.
I loved that idea.
Yeah, it's a great point.
Let's chat for a hot sec, openly and honestly, about what your discipline toolkit looks like in your home right now. If you're anything like most parents, you're relying on the hand-me-down set you inherited timeouts, spankings, threatening of spankings, taking iPads away, 3-2-1 countdowns, groundings, taking away toys, e-bikes, iPhones, any or all of those kind of tactics that create a total relationship strain and don't even work long-term to end your child's misbehavior for good. Meaning, you might spank your child or send them to timeout today for being, air quotes, mean to their sister or disrespecting you, but then 3 days from now, they're repeating the same misbehavior, which causes you to flip your lid because you know they know better. I want to help you learn a new way so you could end the vicious cycle that's keeping you stuck as a parent and causing you to feel super frustrated that nothing is working to get your strong-willed, stubborn child to behave better. My team and I have recently completely refreshed our Compassionate Discipline Quick Start Learning Bundle to help you learn a new way to teach your kids important life lessons, a new way to help your children learn from their mistakes and take responsibility for their actions. You can just DM me the word shift over on Instagram. I'm at Fresh Start Wendy, and I'll personally send you a message with a link to download this free bundle. I'm going to help you shift out of a punishment mindset and into a compassionate discipline one where you fully trust that connection-based, firm and kind discipline tools are all you need to be a strong leader in your home who holds your kids responsible when they misbehave, but does it in a way where they are learning the vital life skills they are missing when they mess up. So again, just DM me the word shift over on Instagram. I'm at Fresh Start Wendy, or you can head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline. To grab your free bundle now. I am so excited for you to shift out of feeling guilty and shameful when you lay your head on your pillow at night and shift into feeling confident and proud of the way you handled yourself as a parent, even when you were wildly triggered and upset about the mistake your child made. Okay, I'm excited for you to dive into this free resource. I'll see you in my DMs and inside the free discipline bundle.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Cool. Okay. So talk to us about your second piece of wisdom, which is society does not make enough space for mixed race identity. So preparing your child for this reality is important to address.
Yeah. Well, the reason I say society doesn't make space. So the way, at least American society, I won't speak worldwide, although I do think there's some truth to this worldwide, but society, our American society has had a good history of breaking people up into specific racial groups and expecting you to just pick one of those and, like, you be in that group, and then we assign all this meaning to those groups, and, you know, maybe we even view these certain groups a certain way. And so, you know, most people don't know. Like, if we sit in 2020, we think, oh yeah, I know what the racial groups are. There's white, there, you know, it'll be like white / you know, non-Hispanic, and then it's black / African American, and, you know, there's Native American, Asian, Pacific Islander, and we think, okay, yeah, those are the groups, and those have always been the groups. They haven't. Our census categories have changed for, like, the last, you know, more than a couple, you know, 200 years or something. We keep changing how we categorize folks, and it usually is to suit, you know, some political belief. It's often very much rooted in our beliefs around race, and unfortunately racism, and who should be at the top and how do we distinguish who's going to be below that. And so over the years that's changed, but our mindset, at least in America, is like, you gotta, what box are you in? Like, right, which category are you in? And we assign a lot of meaning to those boxes. And so this is why I say society is not prepared for a mixed race person to walk outside and then be like, oh, I check off two boxes. I check off three boxes.
Right.
You know, my mother is, you know, Japanese and Mexican, and my father is white, and so I check all three of those, and everybody's like, what? No, you're not allowed to do that. Like,
it's a computer. It'll only let you choose one.
Right? We're like, oh, we're not ready for that in my brain. I don't know how to process that. And so, you know, it's a big barrier. And quite literally, it's a barrier, because a lot of kids, the interracial couple will notice this first when they start to put their kid in school. So they've got a little child, you know, they're like, oh, we're so happy, little, you know, Jackson or Braxton, like, these are common names right now. Like, so little Jackson's going to school for first grade, and we got to fill out this form. And, you know, maybe mom is white and dad is black. And so they go to fill out, okay, and the school's asking, what's your child's racial background? And it says, choose only one. And the parents, for the first time, are like, oh, wait a minute. How do we... They won't let us, you know, check more than one box. So which one do we choose for our child? Because they're literally both of us. Yeah. And mom and dad have to sit at the table like, what do we do here? Some parents get upset and call the school and be like, excuse me, you're not giving me the proper options here.
Yeah.
But some parents are like, well, I guess, should we just, like, guess what we think our child looks like? And that's the beginning right there of the whole problem that society does. Yeah. We look at each other and say, well, you look this to me, so you must be that. So that's the only box that I think you should check. And so it just, that's the barrier it creates for kids. And so we've got to be able to prepare the kid so that they know, we right now, you know, your parents are not the same racial group, which means you're a mixture of two. And the majority of society is not that, like, they're not right. Used to that, so, and that's okay, there's nothing wrong with you, it's just you're going to be something new, and so let's help you get ready for that. You know, right now in the U.S. it's like maybe under 3% of the population has designated themselves as mixed race, which is like 9 million people.
Really? Wow, that's crazy. It's just, yeah. It's under 3%.
Yeah, let me, is that just California? I'm pretty sure that's nationwide, yeah. That's from the last, we're going to have a new census, 2020.
Maybe it's because they choose the side, yeah. Right?
Yes.
Yes.
Right, you do, so there, you're absolutely right. There are some people that know, perhaps, okay, I know one parent is this and one parent is that, but I'm just going to check off this. But since, you know, for a long time on the census, we weren't allowed to check more than one box. But in the year 2000, we were allowed to, and then 2010. And between 2000 and 2010, we had a big jump in numbers of mixed race folks. And it's not just from new births. It's from people saying, oh, I didn't know that we were allowed to do that now.
Yeah.
So yeah, we really have about, you know, 9 million-ish folks in the U.S. that, like you said, have identified themselves as mixed race. And so you got to be able to, you know, and a majority of them are under 18.
Right.
So you've got to prepare a kid to be like, people are not ready for it yet, especially depending on where you live.
And I love your vibe, angle, approach, whatever, like your way of helping and families is like this coming at it from a source of a sense of empowerment of like, hey, this mm-hmm. hasn't been the standard for the last whatever many hundred years. In thousands of years, probably in the world, but and you have the ability to change that. So let's advocate for, and let's make sure we pick up that phone and call that school and let them know that they need that additional box. And you just got to expect it. Like, this is something that I don't want you to be shocked by it. And and so I think there's kids respond so well when they just know what's coming, right? Like, it's the same thing with like schedules or routine, like, you know, it's stupid and it's not related, but kind of is to this discussion. But yesterday, our schedule is changing all the time. And we're trying to still figure out, like, school just started and we're distance learning. Mm-hmm. And my daughter is a drummer and she just went back to in-person lessons. Okay. And we forgot that we had changed her lesson to 2 p.m. on Wednesdays. And Terry and I are both working. We're like hopping off calls. And then I'm like, oh, crap, it's 1:56, we need to get you to drums. And she hates being rushed. And she's like, Wednesday, drums, 2 o'clock. I don't have drums on Wednesday. I was like, yes, you do. We changed it. And so we rushed her in the car. She was late to her drum appointment. And we had to do a makeup for her later because I was like, right. I'm so sorry. She hates being late. But it's just an example of the idea of, like, if she would have known what to expect, she wouldn't have been frazzled. Her body's stress response wouldn't have gone off the charts. I mean, she was almost in tears on the way because she just gets super embarrassed at 12 and a half.
Right.
Like, who's going to judge her? So I can just see this being super powerful of, like, just give your kids a heads up. Like, this is what to expect. And then when it's not present, be an advocate. Be the change. And then if it is present, be like, yes, even celebrate and thank the school for having the box and making sure, you know. Cool. Okay. Yeah. So your third point of wisdom, I am so embarrassed, but you are going to have to tell me what this means.
Okay.
Children will be judged by their phenotype?
Yes, phenotype.
Okay.
Yeah.
So helping children understand how their phenotype will be received is important.
Yeah. So phenotype, it's a nerdy word, so I wouldn't expect everybody to walk around and be like, my phenotype. But phenotype is just the way that, you know, your genetics came together to make you look the way you look. So phenotype includes, you know, skin color, hair color and texture, eye color, all those things, like the way your nose is shaped. This is just why we might meet a daughter of two parents and then walk up to the child and be like, oh, you look exactly like your mother. That's just phenotype.
Got it.
So this is, to me, and to a lot of folks in this field, like, that is the beginning piece of this whole puzzle. What your mixed race child looks like. And this is where people start to push against this child because, take myself for an example. I am mixed race with South Asian. If you know where Sri Lanka is, I'm Tamil Sri Lankan and African American. My phenotype, when people see me, first of all, many people are not walking around knowing a bunch of Sri Lankans. Like, it depends on where you live, but it's a smaller population. It's a very small island, not a lot of Sri Lankans around every day. So when people see me, the first thing they read from my phenotype is that, oh, she must be an African-American woman. So then they treat me accordingly and maybe ask questions accordingly. And if I were to interact with, an Indian family, and they want to ask me some questions, and I were to say, oh, well, you know, I'm also Sri Lankan, they might be like, oh, really? You know, because they're looking and saying, oh, I didn't see that. And so a child has to be prepared. Look, honey, you are definitely, you know, what was the example I used before? Mom is black and dad is white, or I don't know what I said, but let's just say, you sit down with that kid and you're like, you are definitely both of these things.
Yeah.
Always, you always will be. But a lot of people in the world are going to think you're just fill in the blank. Let's say this child happens to look, quote, you know, their phenotype. Maybe they have just wavy, almost straight blonde hair, and they have really light skin, and their eyes are like, greenish brown or something. And when everybody sees that child, they think, oh, you have a little white child. Oh, so cute. You know, nice to meet you. And then the father, I don't know if I said whoever the black person is, maybe mom was. I'm getting confused in my examples. But let's say that other parent comes up and they go, that's your mom? Really? And so then does that mean I don't think you are. Maybe that kid at some point wants to go and play with, you know, other black children or something. And the kids are like, why are you trying to play with us? You're not black. And she's like, yes, I am. Well, you don't look it. So you really have to, that's a big piece of this puzzle, why so many mixed people get asked, what are you? This is why they get, often they get fetishized and exoticized, like, oh, look at you. You look so different and exotic. And, unfortunately, this is why a lot of folks sit around and maybe wish, oh, one day I hope I have a mixed child. They're so cute and they're so
exotic. Heard that. Yep.
Yeah, we don't want a you know, it's not a doll and you're not creating some, I don't know. It's not a toy to be like, ooh, look how different my toy looks. You know,
right.
Because that is a real human that then has to live in the world and walk outside where everybody else is going to be like, ooh, why is your hair this way? And what is your, why is, and so you've got to be able to prepare the kid at home. This is how they're going to see you. These are the questions they're going to ask because of the way you look. So let's just make sure you're ready to face that.
Yeah.
Often I give a bunch of examples, but to think about pop culture, Zendaya is a young kind of, I think she might have been on Disney or something, but she's kind of a big celebrity now. And she talks quite openly. She herself is a black white mix. And she talks quite openly about how many people looked at her and didn't think, you know, they would not guess her background. They would not classify her as black. Maybe she might have had some ostracizing or lots of questions. And for her, she said she had two parents who were like, don't worry about what they say.
Cool.
Here we are. We are your parents. Look at us. We made you. That means you're part of us. Now we're going to help you feel the confidence to walk out in the world and be like, okay, yeah, you just don't get it. That's okay. You're a little confused by my face. That's all right. I'll help you out, you know.
Yes.
And that, she said, gave her the confidence to do a lot of what she's done in her career.
Oh, that's a great example.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's cool. I like her. Awesome. Yeah. Okay, great. All right, let's move on to point number four, which is mixed race. This is, I can't wait to hear your wisdom on this one. Mixed race kids do not need to choose one group over another. This is like so, I feel like so countercultural. It feels like, right? Like again, all of, I'm just in this space of learning because obviously I cannot speak to personal experience with this, but what I witness is that it seems like, you know, there's so much this pressure to like choose. And then there's like,
Yeah, there is. There is so much pressure. Like I said, it starts with just the school form where, I mean, you can hear, I mean, I, because I've worked with that nonprofit, we would hear stories of either parents or the kids they were now adults talk about just sitting down to take a test at school and just sitting there with that question for like a long time and just being like, what do I do? Or maybe even feeling so upset that it makes them want to cry or they just, maybe it makes them angry and they want to skip the question. And I mean, it's such a simple thing. It's just a question. But the fact that when it says choose only one, it just brings up all this stuff of like, well, how can I do that? I can't do that. And so this really, again, that for the child, it really needs to be made clear to this kid. You don't have to choose one over the other. Because society is going to ask you to do that over and over and over again. And the minute you think you're in the clear, another, you know, you're going to meet someone else that's like, oh, but which one are you really? And which one do you identify with more? And, oh, well, you're not allowed, you know, there's so many different ways that that question of like forcing you into one box comes out. And so we want to empower the child, especially from a very young age, to know, okay, I don't have to choose because I'm already two things. I can't.
Yeah.
That's what I always say. You literally cannot choose.
Yes, because you're denying part of yourself, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's impossible. They're already two things into one. We don't really, so for terms again, mixed race and then monoracial. Monoracial means both of your parents come from the same racial group, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't really ever go up to a family that's monoracial. Let's say everyone in the family, you know, mom, dad in this case, and the kids are all Korean. We don't go up to the Korean child and say, well, which parent do you identify with more? Are you more like, are you more your dad? Or are you more your mom? The kid's going to be like, I'm just me, first of all.
Yeah.
And why are you making me choose one side of my family? You know, we don't do that. We don't say, okay, but if you had to choose which side of your family are you really more like and what are you a part of that group? And you're like, why would you want to do that?
Right.
You know, everybody would be up in arms, but we do that with mixed race kids because our brain is just so stuck on racial categories.
Yeah.
If we could just step aside from the racial category, we would be like, oh, you're just another family with two, you know, with like caregivers. And why am I making you choose between your caregivers? We would never do that.
Yes. And it's so like, it's again, like, you know, I always say it's cool to be an outcast. It's cool to be countercultural. Uh-huh. But like our pastor at church, he's so he's mixed race. His I think his dad was black. His mom was white. His grandma was Chinese. He wrote a book called The Third Option, but he's done, and just his book is all about like uniting us in one image of God. Like there is no us versus them. And it's about like racial tensions in America. But he's done so much amazing work and is just so like empowering with like, it doesn't have to be us versus them or, you know, this divisiveness. It really, it's just, we all are one, like we really are, it's beautiful. And it really does go deeper, right? I think, you know, it's like one of those examples of like, if you happen to be listening to this and you don't have mixed race kids or you're not of mixed race, which I'm so happy you're still listening. And it's like one of those examples of privilege where you never had to look at a thing and choose a box. And then from there, it gets so deep, like just a freaking box. And it's like gnarly, like it's going to make you question things. It's like your sense of belonging, which we teach so much about here in positive parenting of like, if you have a child whose belonging is they're questioning their belonging, they are more likely to misbehave. They're more likely to get into stuff you do not want to get them to get into in a sense of belonging and to try to belong. And it just is something that they definitely need support with, right? It just, it makes me think too of, I was watching something and I just happened to be, you know, it's like you see it on both sides, but like, you know, Kamala Harris coming onto the ticket, like people are just like, did she choose black or did she choose white? You know, and it's like people are nailing. I saw one thing. this like awesome activist in, I think he's in Georgia or Alabama or something. I found him and I'm just like loving following him. He's hilarious. And he's doing insanely awesome work down there. But just on his thread one day, I saw someone say like, she chose white on her thing. And it's like, I didn't know what to think about that at the time. I just saw the comment. But now in the context of this, I'm thinking maybe she was given a form and in that moment she had to choose and she was busy and it was too deep to go into like her limiting beliefs about how she doesn't belong in a world. Like, who knows? Like, that's crappy that she even had to choose if that's a true story, right? So
I don't know. I was just going to say, I'm not sure if it's how true the story is because and her background, she and I have a similar background. So, I mean, apart from, you know, if it was not a politics world, it was just kind of exciting to see someone in the kind of a public eye that is, you know, she's South Asian and black. And so she is Indian and I'm Sri Lankan, but so
nice.
So she, but you're right. So many articles are written about her. Like, how will she identify? And, let's talk about her Indian grandmother or, you know, grandfather. And, what does this mean for this and that? And it's like, she, you know, what I think is great, there's a quote out there of her own mother. So her mother was an Indian immigrant and, you know, raising two mixed race daughters in Northern California. And her mom prepared them. This is what I'm talking about, because her mom sat at home and said, look, I am your Indian mother. Yeah. You are Indian, just like me. You are also Jamaican, just like your father. But when you walk outside, they're going to think you are not Indian.
Right.
Like, they're going to think you are too, you know, you and your sister are little black girls, and they're going to assume that about you. But let you listen to me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm telling you who you are.
Beautiful.
But you can be prepared to be treated that way outside. That's okay, because it's still true. It's just not the full truth. Like, if someone were to come up to Kamala Harris and say, oh, well, you know, you're a black woman, she could be like, yeah, I am. Yeah. And I'm also.
Right.
You know. So it's important to kind of if she didn't have that preparation from her own mom, there would be similar battles at home, and then she would have to face the same battles outside. And if nothing else, we want kids to feel like their home is their sanctuary.
Yes.
At least I'm safe at home. At least I'm understood at home. At least I'm accepted at home. At least I belong at home. I know my parents, you know, get me on some level. They created me. At least they're going to accept me, what they created here.
Yeah.
And then I can go out and feel, you know, safer in the world.
Yes. And hopefully those same parents are encouraging this next generation to create the things that are missing, right? To create the groups, to create the clubs, whatever it may be, to get that belonging out in the world too. But gosh, that's so much awesome wisdom, Dr. Jen.
Hey there, families. Let's talk for a quick minute about Kate Northrup's free financial healing workshop. Have you registered? If not, you can sign up at freshstartfamilyonline.com/relax. It's happening April 23rd through 25th. And in case you've missed it, I've been talking a lot lately around the impact that learning about nervous system healing and regulation and financial healing has really transformed my own life, especially when it comes to my bank account and my nervous system. And I'm excited for you guys to learn from Kate too. So I'd highly recommend you hop into her free workshop this week. It is not too late to sign up and get the replay, even if you can't make it live. And then afterwards, you're going to see that Kate is doing a very special invitation into her incredible program called Relaxed Money. That is the program that I started last October and just really has changed my life in so many beautiful ways. But she is inviting families in for a very limited time. And anybody who wants to join with our special offer here at Fresh Start Family, I want to give you a few things for free. Number one, I am gifting my foundations course for free. That's a $497 value. Plus, I'm giving away 2 months free of our Fresh Start Experience, which is our full support positive parenting program. So it's a pretty incredible offer if you want to invest in yourself and your family by healing your nervous system and really looking at more ways you can become abundant and attractive to money so you stop maybe a pattern of living month to month or feeling like there's never enough money, but actually getting into a rhythm of just having overflow in your life when it comes to money. It's a really good feeling now that I actually have that going on in both my business and my personal finance front. So if you want to join Kate's program called Relaxed Money, please just forward your receipt to me, Wendy@FreshStartFamilyOnline.com once you sign up, and I will get you the Foundations course plus 2 months free of the Fresh Start Experience again for free. That's a $615 bonus I am offering for our families who sign up for Kate's program and want to get access to all of our special bonuses that we're providing. So again, sign up at FreshStartFamilyOnline.com/relax, whether you are looking for the free workshop and or looking to learn more about Kate's Relaxed Money program. But I am just so excited for you to start learning with Kate and to get the benefit of getting our programming and support when it comes to powerful, positive parenting for free on top of your investment. That's just going to really change the game for you on the financial front. I just feel like it's such a beautiful win-win. Again, head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/relax for all the details.
Okay, number five, mixed race kids should be encouraged to identify with all parts of who they are, and it can look different as they grow.
Yeah. So that I put that as a point because there are a lot of researchers in the field of mixed race. Believe it or not, you know, lots of nerds that get into wanting to study the experience and what it's like, you know, to be mixed race in America. Really, we have research from all over the world, like mixed race in, you know, Canada and the United Kingdom. But one of the things that we've noted is that people who identify as mixed race will change their identity over as they grow. So not only will this probably happen, but we should allow it. And we should encourage it because, again, they already are more than one thing. So they get to live in those spaces should they choose to.
Yeah.
Again, society is going to be like, oh, well, that's not right because, you know, you look this to me, and so that's what you should just be forever, and you don't get to ever be anything else. And this kid gets to be like, no, I am multiple things, and I can try them on for size. Just like, you know, I don't think we ever say to someone who's, let's say, little girl who, I don't know, plays soccer but also does ballet. Okay, well, which one are you? They're so different. So, yeah. Are you a sporty girl or are you a ballet girl? Which one? She's like, but I do both. No.
You know, right.
But maybe there might be some years when this little girl is like, you know what, I'm totally all about ballet right now. You know, parents, I want to take more classes. I want to take more types of dance. And maybe there might come a time when she's like, you know what, actually, I'm over dance. I really want to go hard with soccer and maybe take soccer all the way to college or something, you know. And we allow the kids, okay, is that what you're into now? Okay, oh, cool, you want to do this. The same thing happens with racial identity, especially for mixed race, because we've got two parents. So, you know, there's a period of time where the kids can be like, I'm really trying to get to know my Filipino side. I'm into it. I'm learning about it. I want to, you know, read about it and watch music, you know, films and dance and whatever else. And then maybe somewhere down the line, they're like, okay, well, now I'm really into my Mexican side and I'm taking, you know, Mexican history classes at school, and I'm doing Chicano studies, and I'm totally into that.
That's awesome.
But what people will do often is look at that kid and say, oh, you're doing Chicano studies, but I thought you were also Filipino. And they're like, well, I am.
Right.
Oh, well, now, but you see, you're acting like you're not. You're just acting like, and they're like, no, I still am the same person I've been since I was born.
Yes.
I'm just reading about this and I'm learning about this. Doesn't erase or deny this other side. And so we have to allow that movement. You know, that's what we do with identity. It moves, it grows, it changes. It's just that when we put racial categories on it, people really get like, oh my God.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, that, and it's, again, it's just another point that you have to have on your radar to discuss with your kids and be ready for it and be like, yeah, that's awesome. Right?
Right.
Like, it's awesome. I feel like, you know, it's so sad, like with Chadwick Boseman's death this last week, right? Because I know, like, just watching, like, the kids in our block, we have a family who adopted kids, and they're black, the parents are white, and I remember when that movie came out, the little boy, he was so stoked. You could see he was just like, yeah, I'm going, you know, with this, I'm gonna like wear this or do this makeup, or, you know, I'd like, yeah, I'm so stoked on my African heritage, you know, and it was like this beautiful moment that he was inspired, you know, to like learn more and I love that idea of like just allow for it and be expectant of it, and then and then support the movement and the ebb and flow, and don't think it's like, oh no, they're not embracing this side just because they're like heavy in that. That's really important.
Right.
All right. You give us
a great point.
One last little bonus one, and then we're going to call it a day.
Okay.
If parents have difficulty talking about race when children, then children will have a hard time forming their racial identity.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I see that over and over and over again. Again, because the kid was looking for the words. The kid is going to look for understanding and explanation from their parents. And if parents gloss over it, dance around it, you know, oversimplify it, then the kid is just at a loss. Like, okay, well, you know, I tried to, I met this woman, and she said her peers kept asking her, what are you? Like, you know, where are you from? What are you? And she was growing up with just her mother, and her mother was Caucasian. I forget what her father was, but apparently, you know, of course, she didn't look white to her peers.
Right.
So they kept asking her, what are you? And she hadn't met her father. And so she goes home to ask mom, like, why does everybody keep asking this? And instead of her mom sitting down and saying, look, this is what your father looks like. This is why you look like this. You tell these kids, you know, this, this, and this, because you're, you know, you get to be whatever you are, and I'm going to explain it to you openly, and I'm not going to be afraid of it. This mother instead said, oh, well, you know, because the daughter was like, well, you know, what am I? Oh, no, you don't have a color. We're colorblind in this family. We have no color. And so you tell them that you are beyond color. And so she was like, okay, that's, she said, actually, for a moment, it felt empowering, like,
right,
I am, you know, I'm colorblind. That feels strong. But it still left her wanting, because the kids were like, okay, like, you think you're colorblind, or you don't have a color, that's weird, but...
But you do have, yeah, color.
we see something, and you're not really giving us a good answer, but you gave us something, so I guess we'll leave you alone. But she said it left her kind of like, it was working for a little bit, but then after a while, she's like, this is not enough of an answer, but I don't know what else to say. And so that's where we really want parents to be able to have the words. And what's interesting is it doesn't matter the racial background of the parent. Sometimes this is just hard for every parent to talk about. Yeah. In my view, a lot of times interracial couples, you know, they fell in love and they're like, I don't care what your background is. Okay, well, I don't care what your background is either. And we're going to make it work, and we're going to forge a lovely relationship. And then the kid, you know, they have a child, and then the kid comes and asks a question, and they're like, oh, shoot, we never thought about this. And so then they try to, like, dance around it, and the kid's like, yeah, that's not helping me. So to me, I think it's really important that parent, you know, sometimes it's just as easy as children's books.
Yeah.
There's some great children's books. One of the most famous ones that I can think of right now is by Tay Diggs. He wrote a book called Mixed Me. His first book was called Chocolate Me, which is great. And then he wrote a book called Mixed Me. And
oh, it's, good.
You know, it's a very empowering story for a little kid to learn about. I'm mixed. This is, you know, one side. This is the other side. And it's, it allows the kid to be like, yeah, this is me. But what I like about it is that it gives parents the words, and it helps the parent understand it. So as the parent is reading it to the kid,
yeah,
you know, now both the kid and the parents have something to refer to later to be like, remember, and Mixed Me, that's you, and let's be, you know, let's empower you through this way.
That book sounds familiar. I was trying to see if we have it on our website already. I have a shop on the website that I guess we don't, so we'll add that one. And then if you have any others to recommend.
There's so many.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, I mean, there are quite a few, because a lot of as you can imagine, a lot of couples or a lot of children's books writers are like, oh, I don't see a book that helps my kid understand their mixed identity, so maybe I'll try to write one. And so Tay Diggs is one of those people. There's a few others out there that kind of have some good stories.
Cool. I'll email you, and then we'll make sure we put it in the show notes page, and that we'll make sure we add it to the shop page of the Fresh Start Family website. So, oh my goodness, you are such a light, Dr. Jen. Thank you for spending time with us today, and thank you for sharing this wisdom and for supporting so many families, so many kids out there. You really are helping to just be such positive change in the world, and we thank you so much for being here. Can you... tell listeners where they can find you. I know listeners love following Dr. Jen on Instagram. You just have such, again, like, you are a very inspirational person to have in your feed. So make sure you guys go follow Dr. Jen there. But tell us everywhere. We'll make sure we put all the links in the show notes. But tell us.
Yeah, sure. So I am Dr. Jen Psych on pretty much all the platforms. So that's DRJENN. PSYCH, so Dr. Jen with two N's. And so on Instagram, I'm Dr. Jen Psych. That's where I'm the most active and do the most sort of stuff. But I have Facebook and Twitter. And then my website is also drjenpsych.com. And that's where you can find out more about my coaching program that I have for parents of mixed race teens. And that's just an online program that does a lot of what we were talking about. It helps the parents prepare themselves to strengthen their child's identity so that they can, you know, survive in the world. And so that's drjenpsych.com. And then, those are the main places to find me. I have a small private practice in Los Angeles. But I'll refrain from giving that website because I hate to turn people away and I am kind of full right now. Dr. Jen Psych is the best place to go to find out, you know, more about how to work with me and, you know, speak engagements, that kind of stuff.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. Well, thank you so much, listeners. Go find Dr. Jen. Thanks again. And
thank you so much for having me. This is fun.
For links and more information about everything we talked about in today's episode, head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/83.
For more information, go to freshstartfamilyonline.com. Thanks for listening, families. Have a great day.
All right, listeners, that's a wrap. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I enjoyed recording it for you. As we wrap up here, don't forget to DM me the word shift or head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline to grab your free discipline quick start learning bundle. You'll get immediate access to download our extensive learning guide where I'll share 5 ways you can ditch the old school hand-me-down punishment mindset beliefs and thoughts that are causing you to react like a volcano instead of respond like the firm, kind, respectful teacher you are at your core. And then you'll also get immediate access to my on-demand workshop where I'll teach you our 3 core Fresh Start Family strategies that make up a strong, compassionate discipline toolkit, as well as my favorite logical consequences that not only work with kids of all ages, but do wonders to unite you with your child and strengthen your relationship, even in your kids' worst moments. So pop on over to Instagram right now and just shoot me a DM with the word shift and I'll send you a personal link to download that bundle right away. Or you can head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline to get access immediately. All right. Thanks for listening. And I'll see you inside that free bundle and also inside the next episode.